Welcome to Two Wings to God. I'm your host, Rob Agnelli. Shortly before his death, Pope St. John Paul II prepared a homily for the celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday. As providence would have it, he died on the vigil of the Great Feast of Mercy and never actually gave the homily. For this reason, we can look at that homily almost like it was the saintly Pope's last will and testament to the Church. And what was his last testament? Quote, "How much the world needs to understand and accept divine mercy." The Mercy Pope's final message. Notice, though, how the Pope didn't merely say that the world needed to accept divine mercy, but also to understand it. In essence, St. John Paul II thought that we both needed to engage both the head in our understanding and the heart in accepting God's mercy. All of us want to have God's mercy realized in our lives, but according to the Divine Mercy Pope, we first need to understand the truth of God's mercy before it can actually be realized in our lives. And so for a deeper understanding of this, stay tuned to today's episode.
Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world.
One of the reasons we do not understand mercy is because it gets caught up with God's justice. In what has become somewhat commonplace, the less traditionally minded of us have attempted to do away with God's justice altogether and focus solely on His mercy. On the other hand, the more traditionalist leaning among us often can only see justice and mercy as two different sides of God. As long as you stay on His good side and avoid His bad side, you will receive mercy rather than justice. In truth, though, these two are not in opposition to each other. In a typically Catholic fashion, in which we embrace both and rather than either or, we can say that God is both just and merciful at the same time. Each of us, regardless of our eternal destination, receive both mercy and justice. If we can make a distinction regarding God's attributes, then we can begin to gain insight into the relationship between justice and mercy. St. Thomas does this for us. He distinguishes between those attributes which relate to God's being, as in those things that He actually is, and those that are related to His operation, or what He does. Those properties belonging to His being are things like unity, immensity, and goodness. With respect to His operation, with respect to the things that He does, we have things like wisdom and love, with its two virtues of justice and mercy. Since God is by nature good, or actually to be more theologically accurate, we would say God is goodness itself, He loves only one thing, and that's goodness. It is this love of the good that links justice and mercy in such a manner that they cannot be opposed to each other, and in fact hold each other up, almost propping each other up. Justice is to render to each his due. Because we recognize that God can be the debtor to no one, we tend to only equate justice with punishment. That's important. Justice is to render to each his due, but because we recognize that God can be a debtor to no one, we usually only equate justice with punishment. But this is only a partial aspect of justice and not even the most important part. From all eternity, God is just. So before creation, He was just, and there was no one to punish. And so justice has to be more than punishment. This is because God is first and foremost just to Himself. God, in being just to Himself, decreed that there should be fulfilled in creatures both what His will and His wisdom require and what most makes His goodness made known. In other words, God is just towards His creatures by giving them all that they need, primarily because He is acting justly towards Himself. He's showing Himself to be a true Father and a true Creator. While punishment is part of justice, it simply doesn't exhaust it. Truth be told, it's only a fraction. Now, while justice renders to each his due, God's mercy is the foundation of the divine love to mankind. To distinguish between justice and mercy, then, St. Thomas points out that when a man's love is caused by the goodness of the one he loves, then that man who loves does so out of justice. But when his love causes goodness in the beloved, then it is a love springing from mercy. Again, when a man's love is based on the goodness he sees, that's justice. But when his love causes the goodness in the beloved, that is mercy. And so the love with which God loves us produces goodness in us. And then mercy is presented here as the root of all divine love. It is mercy that is the cause of all the good in us. So mercy is not only about forgiving our sins, but a recognition that, quote, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. That's James chapter 1, verse 17. It is not just in opposing justice and mercy that we err, though. There is also a tendency to put justice somehow above mercy, when it is exactly the opposite. First, mercy precedes justice. Out of a superabundance of his goodness, God made man and woman the crown of visible creation because of their innate capacity to be friends with him. They have this capacity to have God's life in them. If he has to reward us for anything, it was only first because he was merciful in creating us. Second, St. Thomas suggests that if we look at justice and its three acts, we can see how mercy is what he calls love's second name. The first act, God's justice consists in giving what is necessary for each creature to reach the end in which it was made for. We have all that we need to reach our natural end of virtue. But in his mercy, he provides us with much more, namely all that we need to reach the supernatural end he desires to give us, that life, that giving of himself. Justice also rewards each according to his merits. But our reward far exceeds what we are owed. Being natural creatures, we can never, no matter how good we are, no matter how good we do, reach the share in his divinity that God is offering us. He must give this to us as a free gift. He must bestow this capacity upon us. Even if the Blessed Mother remained sinless throughout her whole life, if she did not have sanctifying grace given to her, she could never have been made the Queen of Heaven. Heaven is not a reward for the good people. It is the true home of the holy people that God has made. Only God is holy, and only he can give holiness to us, and only holy people enter heaven. Justice also has to do with inflicting punishment, but mercy always trumps justice. This is where the head and the heart must meet. Mercy is, quote, as St. Thomas says, the sorrow at the misery of another as though it was his own. The sorrow at the misery of another, taking ownership as if it was his own. This sorrow is not merely affective, not just a feeling, but it's effective. It does something about this misery. Its effect is to endeavor to dispel the misery of the other. In other words, it tries to relieve the misery of the other. And this is why our Lord is truly mercy incarnate. He took our misery upon himself as if it was his own in order to dispel it. Now, we may think sometimes that God can merely have cooked the books in sending his son. But there can be no mercy without justice, and this is why they're so intimately linked. Justice is not merely superfluous because of mercy. Why is that? Because they both have the same source, namely God's love for the good. If he created order is very good, and sin has violated that order, then God's love, i.e. his mercy, demands its restoration. That's justice. Despite our human efforts, to the contrary, the misery must be acknowledged as such, and its source must be repaired in order for the action to be merciful. Mercy requires that there be some actual misery to be overcome. Jesus came because we had misery. We can't just let the misery go and expect to receive the mercy. This movement of the heart from here, from this idea and this notion of mercy, has been navigated by St. Thérèse of Lisieux in what she calls her little way. And this serves as a guide for us. Quote, the little flower says, I know well that it is not my great desire that please God in my little soul. What he likes to see is the way that I love my littleness and my poverty. It is my blind hope in his mercy. This is my only treasure. The weaker one is, as in the more miserable one is, without desires or virtues, the more ready one is for the operation of this consuming and transforming love. God rejoices more in what he can do in a soul humbly resigned to its poverty than in the creation of millions of suns and the vast stretch of the heavens. End quote. The gospel is only truly good news for those who are enslaved, for the captives, namely the little ones. Justice demands we acknowledge our misery so that mercy can then be activated in our lives. By trusting in his promise and never giving in to discouragement, we too can become great saints like the little flower. Saint Therese, pray for us. For more on this and all aspects of our divine faith, navigate over to www.twowingstogod.com. That's www.twowingstogod.com.